this council meeting to order today. I'd like to welcome all those that are present. Good to see such a nice turnout today. Are there any changes or approvals of the agenda that need to be made that aren't circulated? I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any questions? Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. Any presentations this morning? Tabling up petitions? No petitions today. We'll move on to public question comment session. Any members of the gallery? Please state your name and your address, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, Coggy Creek, Liverpool. A couple things here. First of all, just wanted to mention about public meetings prior to setting the tax rate. Finishing the budget. I noticed that there are a number of municipal units that do that. Barrington, for example, is going to be doing it. This budget has been doing it for a few years, the municipality of Lindbergh. And what I would suggest is maybe a meeting with, say, Queens Place, for South Queens, and one maybe at the Hub Center out in Caledonia. And I'm not sure just how they run these meetings, but it's prior to setting the tax rate, and they're getting input from the taxpayer, from the public, as to what they would like to see, or a new program, or maybe a program discontinued, and so on. And I think it would be a good way to engage the public.
Well, thank you, Leon. We'll take that under advisement through councilors and staff.
Okay. Now, I have another question there. With respect to a comfort station, we're in the middle of winter now and so on, and I just have a question with respect to the fire hall here in Liverpool. Does that have a generator backup so it can be used as a comfort station if, say, the power is out for any length of time?
I'll ask my CAO.
I will confirm with you. I believe that that is one of the EMO comfort stations.
It is, for sure. Yes, it is.
Okay, I was just wondering because I wasn't sure. Odeon Port Matilda, West Queens, the rec center out there, that's a comfort station. It has a generator backup. I know I had several discussions with the former councilor from that area, and one was installed here a few years ago. So that is the case, and it can be used as a comfort station. Thank you. 13.2, I noticed there you have a recommendation there with respect to the rezoning of that property, and I think Deputy Mayor McLeod brought it up at the previous meeting, and I noticed there's a recommendation coming back there to leave it at the status quo, which would be commercial. And I just like to comment there, I think that further consideration should be given. We do have a number of vacant buildings on Main Street now, commercial ones. I drove through town on purpose this morning. I think there's close to a half a dozen of them. Some of them are quite large commercial spaces. And I'm just wondering, my understanding was this would be made into two apartments and for seniors' apartments. Now, if you look in that area, the other part of the building there is vacant as well. And also, but there's a house which has been there for a number of years. People live there. I assume it's zoned residential, and that's basically next door to that building. And I couldn't see any real problem if this one was, at least it would be occupied, and it would also provide much needed space for seniors, because we keep losing seniors all the time to Bridgewater and beyond. And I would suggest that maybe council would take a further look at it with that recommendation that's coming up and reconsider it. And one final thing, have I got my 5 minutes, Mr. Mayor? One final thing there. I noticed about the trade show, the Home Sport and Travel Expo, I guess it is, that's going to be coming to Queens Place. And that's something I know when the public sessions were there a year or so ago and asked the public for input, and that was one of the things I think that was mentioned, and now it's going to be taking place, I believe, in April, which is good.
I think the date has moved into early May, Leon, but thank you for your comments.
I think it mentioned something about April in here. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Is this my opportunity to speak on the matter? Thank you. First of all, I'm Alan Sorovell, and I do own the building that this gentleman just referred to, the one that where there has been an issue about a development agreement going back and forth. It was initially voted down essentially by the council, and now it's come back for.
And if I could ask you for your address, if I may, where you're residing?
Okay, I actually reside at, in Hubley, Nova Scotia.
Thank you.
Not in Liverpool. But the building in question is on Main Street, 325 through 327. thank you for your comments. I wasn't expecting them, and I must say that.
We've never met before.
No, we haven't met, but you did do a very good job at saying many of the things that I wanted to say. But I did have a chance. I got a call yesterday from Susan McLeod notifying me about this meeting, and so I did throw a few notes together. Hopefully these will be helpful, and obviously I'm trying to urging council to think about these issues as I put them forward. So if you'll just bear with me, I'll try to read this, and hopefully it won't take more than 5 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I'm here today hoping to persuade council to ultimately allow me to carry through with my plan to provide affordable housing to those who are most in need. It's my understanding that a recommendation is being put forward that the development plan I submitted in 2016 be once again rejected by council, as it was rejected on June the 14th, 2016. With all respect to the individual who I believe is, my understanding will be bringing this motion forward, I want to urge council to support my position on the matter, which is to say, I hope you'll defeat that motion and approve my plan so that I may go forward with it. Now let me, first if I may, provide you with some of the facts as I see them that are pertinent. So the building we're talking about is, as I've said, located at 325 through 327 Main Street. In it, there are 6 residential and 2 commercial units, the 2 latter commercial units fronting on Main Street. I became the sole owner of the building in March of 2013. The commercial units were continuously occupied from the date that I purchased the building until one of them became vacant in May of 2015, and then the other became vacant in September of 2015. Now, since those dates, both have remained empty. I have for rent signs. The municipality, the building units are listed with the municipality on, I guess, on the website for commercial vacancies. And I haven't been able to rent them. I've had a couple of inquiries, but nothing panned out. So I submitted a development agreement application in April 2016, which was rejected by council in June of 2016. In November, however, council rescinded that rejection decision. Now, I want to point out that some of you don't know, the owner of the building previous to me was successful in his application for a development agreement, and that allowed for residential premises in the 2 main floor units that are currently commercial. Another thing I want to let you know is that I've been in close touch with Barbara Charbo, if that's how you pronounce it, who's the manager of affordable housing for Housing Nova Scotia since April of 2016. And she, I can tell you, has been very positive about my intention, my hope, to transform those commercial units to residential. And she has encouraged me to apply for assistance from them, and they're able to give, as you may know, forgivable loans for, in this case, for the conversion if it took place. Now, in my conversations with her, it came out that, for example, in April of 2016, and that was the last time that this issue came up between her and me, but I suppose I could look this up again. She pointed out that there were approximately 30 seniors on a wait list for affordable housing. This was from a local housing authority, she said, in Liverpool. And she said there was also a demand for barrier-free one-bedroom units. Now, I'm sure that those numbers that I just cited haven't improved too much. In fact, they may not be, they may have actually worsened. We all know of the great need for affordable housing in the municipality. And in fact, this was recognized in the municipality planning strategy, which identified issues and concerns, including the need to, and I'm quoting from the strategy, plan for an aging population by identifying where in the region multi-unit senior dwellings should be encouraged, end of quote. In addition, one of the goal statements in the document that was articulated calls for promoting, quote, a wide range of housing options throughout the region to meet the needs of all residents of Queens, including new affordable housing units, high-end condominium development, and seniors housing, end of quote. Now, the two units I was hoping to renovate and convert for residential use seems to me would be good candidates for seniors. They're within walking distance of town center, so a certain amount of shopping, and maybe more importantly, there are no steps involved. So on the first floor, no steps involved that someone would have to climb to access them. I would certainly be motivated to keep the rents for those units after the renovations within the affordable housing limits, and that's because the forgivable loan extends over a 15-year period from Housing Nova Scotia, and that's one of the conditions, obviously, that the rents remain at the affordable level. And I should say that those rents probably wouldn't be much different than what I am currently charging in any event in the building. I have several people on social assistance in the building, at least one who's on disability and so one retired person and so on. So in a sense, I guess my building already affords affordable housing, perhaps. I'd like to continue that. So just in summary then, I'm hoping that essentially what we could do is work together, council, myself, and Housing Nova Scotia, and between all of the parties, all of us, we can improve the situation for affordable housing in Liverpool, and maybe you'll see fit to approve my application. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public gallery today? Yes. Just.
Good morning. My name is Joey Osweiler. I own a few property on Main Street, and congratulations for the new position.
Thank you.
And I don't know the gentleman. He happened to be my next door neighbor. I agree, because I am in the same situation. 290 Main Street used to be the Main Street Quickway, and I can fit two-bedroom apartment in that location. It's cheaper for me and better for me if I keep it the way it is, and I rent it for, I used to rent it for $1,500. So it's cheaper, I don't have to spend money to switch it to a two-bedroom apartment. But the chance is, I don't know. So I am with the same situation like him, so I want to try to do like he's doing. Because that building up there cost me money. So I need to do, I have to have income to pay my bills. So I want to try like he's doing, and I wish you luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
And one more thing I want to mention, everybody's here. I'm sorry to say it, Main Street is tired. We used to have a lot of like the arena here, the liquor store, now the skating park, everything going up on the other side of town. So they're killing us. Who's killing us, I don't know, but we're dying. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes.
Bill?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Bill Cox, 121 North Road. First of all, I would like to thank you and the members of council who attended the New Year's levee at the Legion. We were very pleased to see you there, as were a number of your constituents who have commented about having the opportunity to actually find out who their councillor was. So it's it serves an additional purpose. While we were down about 20 from previous years, we managed to use all of the chatter, so we probably would have had to make some more had more people shown up. So we want to thank you for giving up your New Year's Day for to attend the levee. You have a number of items on the agenda that I could comment on, but I won't. But I'm very pleased that we're having the Home and Sports Show coming to Queen's Place. This has been something that's been suggested for a long time, and this is going to cause a great deal of difficulty over and above what we normally have for the Hank Snow Show, just simply to cover the ice. And if you have it in May and the Verandos don't support it, then maybe that would alleviate some of that cost. I'm pleased to read the comments in regard to the visitor information centers. I go back 40 years to when I served on the Tourism Committee for the Annapolis Valley Affiliated Boards of Trade, and to see all of the things that are they're suggesting that happened here versus what used to take place 4 years ago. It's quite amazing. In those days, people didn't carry a little electronic things out and come figure in the cigarette lighter and be able to do all kinds of things. But our visitor information centers are required still by a number of seniors and a number of other people who do travel. And the addition of a commercial or non-profit component certainly adds to the attraction of the facility, and also reduces the cost. So hopefully the request for proposals will generate somebody that can take over that that facility and make it feasible to operate for the region. Also, the refreshing of the website is another item that is overdue. I think that we have to switch the emphasis of that, not quite so strongly on the tourism side, but on the commercial development side. We have two gentlemen this morning who have commercial properties and are not able to avail themselves of a rental from those facilities, and I think that we have to make it known to developers and others out there that we do have a space here that they could utilize for commercial purposes. Certainly the rentals here are considerably lower than they would pay in another competing community, and certainly we here who find ourselves almost at least once or twice every 2 weeks running to Bridgewater to get items that are just not available to us locally would appreciate somebody coming and utilizing that that property. In regard to that commercial property, it was the development agreement was approved once. It did produce some revenue, and while I don't think there's anybody in this room that would like to see commercial space retained any more than me, I think that it comes a point of time when there is absolutely no interest that we have to look at it as a revenue producing property that helps our community, and change our policy and philosophy accordingly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. I would like to add that the New Year's levee at the Legion is a wonderful event. The Region of Queens is proud and pleased to participate and partner with the Legion on that. Thank you. Any other comments?
David Haskins, 6718 Highway Number 3, and owner of Fisherman's Cove Campground. I'm here to concern with the Visiting Information Center. I understand that it's not a proper thing, it's like the ferries. But here we got the ferries we're paying for Yarmouth, Digby. We want people to come in to this area, but soon as you get in, how are you going to get information if we don't have these information centers? I understand that a lot of people now have a computer, but it can only give you so much information. And I think, and it's, like I say, it's not a profitable thing to be into, but either are the ferries, and we understand that. So I think we should be really looking at this. We lost something here a few years ago that I bet 80% of the people here don't understand. We lost our places that to get propane. We say propane, you can come in here to Urban and get propane. But motorhomes have their own container of a tank. You don't fill up a propane tank and go put it into a motorhome. We lost that. Winox had it, Urban had it. Nowhere in Queens County you can get propane. So if they come to my establishment or to a visiting information center and ask where you can get propane, oh, we don't have it. So guess what? They're going to go to Bridgewater or other areas, and they will not be coming back. Once they leave, they're not going to come back to Liverpool once they get the propane. So we lost that. Let's try not to lose something else if we can help it. I thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the public gallery? I'd like to thank all for their contribution today. I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes from December 13th, 2016. Moved Councillor Kelly, second is Councillor Fraley. Any discussion? Question? Ready for the question? All those in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. Nothing to report under dangerous or unsightly today? Under 8.0 Economic Development, I would ask Jill to come forward to the presentation desk, if she would. Under 8.1, Councilor Muse, would you like to take this?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality grant pre-budget approval for the Economic Development Department's participation in Saltscapes East Coast Expo in Halifax, April 2017, at a total cost of approximately $2,500 from economic diversification budget. In addition, that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality grants pre-budget approval for the Economic Development Department's participation in the South Shore Home Sport and Travel Expo in Liverpool, May 2017, at a total cost of approximately $750 from the economic diversification budget.
Seconder, Councillor Fisk. Jill, would you like to brief us on that?
Certainly. Saltscapes is one of the biggest shows that we have in Halifax, and is very popular. It's growing year on year. There's thousands of people, I might say in excess of 40,000 people come through its doors in its 3 days. So it's a huge opportunity to reach our target tourism market, which is a lot of Atlantic Canada, and also to have a presence there so that people don't forget that we exist here in Queens. And we have partnered in recent years, well, every year actually, with different organizations, but in recent years we've been able to triple the size of our booth because of partnering with festivals and events and with Best Western and other businesses, Bay Brewery, wood carving. You know, we've had every kind of attraction there that brings life and energy to the booth and really makes people realise what an exciting place we have here for them to visit. So that's a 3-day show in April, and the South Shore Home and Sport Travel Expo is new and has moved just yesterday. Actually, we got notification it's moved to a date in May, but that gives a degree of separation between it and Saltscapes. But it's going to give us the opportunity to support that show that, you know, it's taken Mr. Burns about 2 years to secure that show here, and if it's a success this year, it will come back for more years. So as a show of support, we want to have a booth there and be able to welcome people to Queens who are visiting the show.
Councillor Fanson.
So do I address this to you? I'm going to address this to Jill. Okay. Jill, again, as we look at costs, really, I mean, $2,500 is a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can you break that down somewhat, just so everybody will know where it would be?
Sure. The booth space we get, the 10x10, which is the smallest booth, is about $1,500 or more in itself just for that space. And we send one staff person, and so there's his costs for 3 nights, accommodation, mileage, food, and frugal food. He does take out some things and buy stuff at the show to eat. And then there's an amount of sort of giveaways, and we've been very sparing in those in recent years as well. We've been producing a bookmark which gives all the key festivals and events in the community for the upcoming year. So as it's the beginning of the tourism season and the kickoff, you know, it's a great opportunity. Obviously, we take all our other materials, but we have those anyway. But it's a great and I think the opportunity of not being there is a big opportunity lost. You know, I think it's something that we have to have that presence, and I think we do it as sparingly as we can in terms of our costs.
Okay,
Councillor Fisk.
Jill, just I realize you do. You touched base on the advantages. Do we see an advantage in the tourism? Is there any way of knowing how many?
It's a tough one to actually measure. I mean,
but yourself, do you feel that?
I mean, when you talk to people, they, you know, they say, oh yeah, you know, Liverpool, you know, I'm coming down there, or I'm thinking of coming down there, or what's going on, what's new this year, and all that kind of stuff. So you. It's a great opportunity to have those one-on-one conversations with people and really sell the area to them.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to know how that actually translates into visitors, because you know, but they all sound very pumped and positive about it at the time.
Thank you, Jill.
Jill, when you're talking to various people that attend the show, what kind of information or do you get from them? For example, what are they looking for when they want to travel? Do we need to look at what they want for visiting attractions that maybe we don't have, but maybe could look into of what would attract more people here?
I don't see any particular gaps. I mean, they go for the big attractions, and you know, White Point's a big draw for our area, obviously Kedgy, and so we just tend to promote on the experiences that they can have here.
But those are regular things. What about something that we could be different, because our sign says escape from the usual? Yeah.
I don't find I'm getting that feedback in the course of those conversations.
Okay.
And you know, it's more that kind of thing we get more at the visitor center.
Okay.
When they say, oh, have you got a map of all your trails, or have you got a great map of the coast, or whatever, that's when you get those kind of, that kind of comment.
Right.
That's what I found anyway.
I'm glad that you're including a portion for the upcoming trade show, because there's also vendors there that you might attract from the tourism aspect of it as well,
mm-hmm.
at that show.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the word out there is very important.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other councillors? You ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. 8.2, Jill. It's an information report.
Just an information report on a study that the South Shore Wren undertook in the summer with a group of folks. I was involved in the process and interviewed a couple of the VICs outside Queen's County looking to assess, you know, whether anything should be closed down or anything like that, but they were just wanting to because they've taken over tourism as part of their mandate, it was just to kind of get a feel for that whole kind of tourism landscape and get an idea of what different VICs were doing, because it was perceived that different ones were offering different levels of service or have different facilities, etc., etc. So it was sort of doing that, looking at best practices and revenue generation or opportunities, because funding is always being reduced every year, or the funding stays the same but minimum wage and costs go up. So it's always a juggling act to keep these things going, but they're very much valued in the communities that have them.
Any questions or comments, Council? Yes, Councilor Fancy.
I guess, Jill, I'm looking through here. I guess, let me see, the VICs is all part of that, right? In Liverpool, I see we have, it says that 9.8% of the visitors coming through go to a VIC, mm-hmm. and then it goes down to 7 or something like that in Calvin. I see down in, like, Lunenburg, the whole Bay Area, they're often the teens and things. Mm-hmm. I wonder why we have less people going to our VICs here. Just a query.
Yes, I don't know if it's a proximity to Halifax thing, that we're just that bit further away, but honestly don't have the answer. But certainly most visitors, you know, gravitate towards Halifax, and then, you know, we try and attract them down the shore, and obviously having the ferry back is great. It was a late promotion of that last year. It was only just established at the last minute, but hopefully this year, and now it's not a US election year, we'll have some more traffic this year.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think possibly location also. We talked in the past about location of the VIC, closer to the 103, keep it downtown to lure people into the downtown area. But I just heard some stats about Tim Hortons Center. Tim Hortons location here is one of the best locations in the region for, you know, for visitors and that sort of thing. And we believe it's because of location close to the 103. It's right off the ramp, 2 seconds in, and you're there. So I think maybe location might be an idea too. And we talked about relocating it at some point, but that might be a discussion for future.
Any other councilors? Councilor Johnson?
I think we heard at the session we had here a week or so ago that maybe we're doing a little bit better job of making every stop a visitor's information center versus coming to a central hub.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the numbers for 2016 that reflect in the Caledonia area, probably a lot of that has to do with the fact that the highway was closed going to the valley for a number of weeks because of the fires and stuff like that. But it's encouraging to at least see some data here on information that we can work at.
Yeah, and actually Caledonia's numbers were up this year on what they have done in the past. Yes, and I think a lot of that, you know, was the weather. Kedgy was really busy, but it's encouraging anyway.
Maybe the road being closed held them in as well.
Councilman Fisk?
Jill, you notice a difference in the numbers during events like, let's say, Hank Snow, for example, or hockey, not so much hockey, but in the summer events like concerts, do you notice a difference in the numbers coming?
Yeah, definitely a peak, you know, especially privateer days where it's in the thick of it, and the memorial car show that we had. And I think, you know, it's great, sort of things like the home show at Christmas time is able to incorporate that location. So the more you get people in there, the more they realize that it's there, what the services are, it can provide the better.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
I noticed on page 24, they're talking about online presence and social media, and I've brought this up many times in the past about the missed opportunities that we have as far as social media and the amount of people, I mean, the interesting people, the connections to Liverpool, and the ability to be able to spread that out to show what's happening. I follow the Caledonia VIC, and they're constantly on social media kind of promoting what's happening in the area. And I see that is part of the recommendation, to have more of an online presence and social media and user-generated content. So I would encourage us to kind of start looking at that seriously. And normally what happens with the summer students, you know, you have younger people that are much, much more fluent in social media, and they have not been able to, we have not been able to take advantage of that. And I think that that would be, this is the perfect opportunity, especially in this year of the 150 celebration where lots of things are going to be happening. So I'm happy to see it as part of a recommendation, but it's only a recommendation and we need to follow up on it if we need it to actually happen. So.
I hear what you're saying, sorry. But we have given it serious thought in the past and had various discussions at the staff level about it. And the issue is in social media that you have to be on it constantly. You have to. You can't have it going for 6 months of the year and then nothing get posted. And that was the issue because the Visitor Information Centre isn't open all year. And so our decision was to concentrate our efforts on the Region of Queen's social media feeds, which are active all the year and are constantly monitored. Because that's the other thing. If you have more social media feeds, you've got to monitor more social media feeds, and it's extra staff time and responsibility because you want it to be as effective as possible. So that's really why it hasn't happened. But obviously, if council wants to reconsider that, then that's
well. Using that argument, we would say that Caledonia would have a problem, and when they start up in the spring, their active feed comes back. And I know more about North Queens because of their social media, and they're certainly not there during the winter time. So it's certainly something to explore again now that it's part of the Bren recommendation.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Regarding staffing for the VIC centers, I know you hire staff and it's funded through us and through the province. But I know in the report there was a sort of a not a negative comment, but it was about not utilizing volunteers and the reason for not utilizing volunteers. And I really think that is a lost resource. I think if volunteers were trained early enough within the year, and I know there's a lot of people in our community who are great ambassadors and would really like to have an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, tune as Councillor Frelick, then you might be able to attract someone who is very literate in computers and in Facebook and in social media, that they may want to do that on a, you know, on a volunteer basis, which and can be kept updated on current facts, you know, right facts. And I think that might be an opportunity there.
Any other questions by councilors or comments? The Visitor Information Center does provide a valuable service, as do other local businesses and associations in the area. And it's very helpful in promoting tourism. Good report, thank you, Jill. I'd ask you to stay at the table because you'll soon be coming back up again. We'll move on now to 8.3, Rural Internet Application Update, and I'll ask CAO Rich McClellan to read this.
Sure, so through the mayor to council, before Christmas, the municipality put in two applications to the Provincial, Municipal, and Community Rural Internet Fund, one to provide enhanced service beyond what Eastlink has announced for Greenfield. So there is some technology that's been applied for working with Eastlink to identify an opportunity to further expand their coverage in Greenfield following their project, as well in Caledonia. There's an application in to bring fiber all the way to the hub, which helps capacity building and will provide more service in that community. So we expect, we've been back and forth giving a few clarifications. We expect decisions within the month from government on those projects.
Yes, Councilor Fancy.
These are from different pots of money, isn't it? I mean, we aren't all going for the same pot, and all of a sudden we go shoot one and the other. It's different. There's some different.
These two projects are both going after the $600,000 that the province announced.
Okay.
So There's some different money that is for internet service providers that's out there. However, when these two opportunities came up, we looked quickly to see what we could put forward to help our overall objective of improving the resiliency and the performance of internet in Region of Queens, and ran with these two applications that were the most acute issues that we've been looking at.
Any other councilors?
I should clarify, there is a federal program that's just been announced and which
yes.
will be coming to council in the near future to discuss opportunities with that.
Any other comments or questions of council? I would like to add that this information item is brought forward to the public and the media to allow you to understand and know that we are working on these issues behind the scenes and where we are in the process. It's a very important issue for those that have substandard internet service for both residential and business use in areas of Queens. We'll move on to 9.1, municipal website refresh information report. And I was wondering if I could ask our municipal clerk, Anna McFinnell, if she would like to take a seat with Jill. And I would ask that you brief us on the issue.
It's been discussed presently that the website was in need of a bit of a refresh. So basically, since this new council has been elected.
Excuse me, could I ask you to speak a little louder?
Oh, I apologize. Since this new council has been elected, staff has been taking direction from the CAO, and we've been working. It's a fast talking process. It's a slow implementation process. So that's one of the issues. But things that we have done, we've changed the layout ever so slightly. So where is it here? Instead of municipal services, we have residents and council has been created to read municipal services. We now have a council and governance section, and this is really to have a clear separation of the two groups. We have a new section that to include the Queens Place Mara Center minutes for that advisory committee. We are in the beginnings of starting a photo gallery, and this is actually a much longer process because we have to vet the pictures. We have to, when we don't want 100 pictures of beaches. I mean, we could, but it's if you have you have to consider it from an outsider's perspective, and they don't know that each beach is lovely in its own right, and they just see beach, beach, beach. So that takes a bit of time. And then there's been various changes in recreation, and this is all feeding into, on the one hand, what council has said strategic priorities were in terms of attracting tourism and attracting new residents, but also really highlighting what Queens has to offer. So we still have to expand the relocate section, and right now the feeling among staff is we're getting to the point where it is starting to infringe on other duties that staff have. So we've outlined what we can do without a formal instruction from council. And really what we're suggesting now is that if council would like more than what we can do without formal motion, we would suggest that perhaps a formal motion be made.
Would you have anything to add, Jill?
No, I think that's fine.
Got one we Mr. Mayor.
In
addition to the additions that that Anne has highlighted, we've also last week uploaded all of our operational policies to the website, and more of our policies and bylaws will be complete there, I believe, by the end of this week, returning more effort to the photo gallery section. And in the meantime, I believe that these sort of efforts will be sort of the, as Ann said, sort of where we'll sit following as we finish some of our strategic priorities over the next few weeks. And there may be some larger tactics and projects related to the website that will come forward from there. However, we wanted to bring this to your attention.
Thank you, CAO. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
In addition to tweaking and, you know, improving our visual look and navigational aspects of our website, when a person wants to check out Queens and they key in something in Google, what comes up first? Does Queens have something there that brings us up first in that list of, you know, that's very important when people do that. What comes up when they say, do they know Queens County? Do they say Region of Queens? Do they say Liverpool? Do all those little facets come up when they actually get navigate through Google to see what's available here and how we are one of the very first at the top of the list that comes up? Can you check into that? Do you know what I'm asking?
So through the mayor to council, I know what you're asking, but I don't understand how to answer it. I know that
okay.
Richard Lane and Dana do, and those are one of the things that as we talk a little bit about more of our attraction, you know, what sort of, there's a word there, I can't remember, you know, so you get those hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be part of it. Richard and Dana periodically work on those,
okay.
And I think we need to be more deliberate and explicit
mm-hmm.
in our strategy to that, supporting what council's priorities are.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any fee to do that with your provider on your website or whatever. It's just how you manage it.
Right.
Any other counselor? Hearing none, I want to thank you for presenting, and I want to thank staff for their efforts in upgrading our website. And as we move forward, it will certainly be a benefit to attraction of new people to Queens and growth in Queens. We'll now move on to 9.2, Administrative Policy Review Project, Recommendation Report. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take this?
It's mine.
9.2.
Okay. I have a little comment here from
the
counselor.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, okay. He used to deal with corporate services, so I'm wondering, okay. But you want me to handle this? Okay.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Certainly. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the process for reviewing the region's personnel, administration, and operational policies and its bylaws as outlined in the Administrative Policy Review Project Report presented to Council on January the 10th, 2017.
Second. Councilor Fisk. Anne, would you like to provide some information?
Okay, so the policy review project, this is, quite honestly, a major project. The size of our municipality is we have, rounding up, about 11,000 people, and we have an operating budget of around $20 million. Comparable top-performing municipal units within the province have, on average, 82 policies, bylaws, so all of what they have plugged into one pot is about 81, 82. We have about 177, which at first glance says we are over policy. Some of them, excuse me, go back to 1996. So at the origination of the Region of Queens, at the amalgamation. And some of them haven't been updated since then, but the way we've interpreted it, just in talking to staff, has kind of changed. So. There's a number of issues. Some of them some of the older policies conflict with newer policies, so that causes confusion as to which one you need to go with. Some of the policies, in my opinion, actually conflict against the Municipal Government Act. So that is to say that we're not following the overriding policy. And some of them are just out of date, and some of them, again, my opinion, are just very, very weak. So That's one issue. Another issue is there's the organization in terms of finding the policies is not tremendous. For example, if we are, let's say we have a personnel issue and we want to look in personnel policies to deal with, say, sexual harassment. just so everyone knows, nothing's going on, it's just, this is one that stuck out to me. So I looked through the personnel policies, I couldn't find the sexual harassment policy. The sexual harassment policy is actually organized under operational policies. And I have no clue as to why it was plopped there, but if you've got an emergency and you need to deal with something and you don't know what to do, you can't find what you need to do. So this is an organization structure issue as well. So we've got a lot of that stuff going on. So basically what this report is doing is outlining the process of understanding where we are, understanding what we are lacking, understanding where we're in conflict either with our own policies in terms of an overlap or and also where we are not in compliance with overarching legislation. So that would be at the provincial level, the MGA, and other documents, and then there's also federal legislation as well. Because the thing is, policies and bylaws do not trump provincial or federal legislation. They are subservient. So that's another thing. A big part of this is to get the number down, because it's confusing. It's very confusing. And so part of what I've outlined is I want to sort of group policies that we have around a like item. For example, tax, we have, I believe, three admin policies related to tax and two or three operational policies related to tax. I would seek to basically take the good bits of all of those policies, put them into a new policy that I will draft, repeal the other policies, and obviously then we'll have one that is just, okay, you need the tax policy, here's everything with tax. So what that would do is, instead of having six or seven policies that are 1 to 2 pages in length, that a lot of them have a lot of repetition in it, is we would end up with one policy that would have less repetition but would be longer, because obviously it's drawing everything in. But my view is I'd like a one-stop shop for each item that can be categorized like that.
Councilor Fancy?
When I look at this, it looks like a very arduous task, you know, to what you're getting into. And when you look at it, if we've got 170 some policies and everybody else got about 82, is there, now again, maybe this is a silly question, but would it be better to look at somebody else's policy, how they've got it written up, and to then, if we have to make some modifications to it, rather than to something that's pre-existing, rather than try to build something that's already there?
Yes, that's part of the process, sir. I have no intention of reinventing the wheel. I've got far too many policies to go through.
Yes.
Basically, that's part of the best practice research, where to look at, because I spoke with the Department of Municipal Affairs, the municipal advisors met with me and said, these are top performing municipal units in the province that are comparable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Halifax is always seen as a top municipal unit, but in my opinion, it's not really comparable, so I want something that's a little bit more appropriate for us. So I'll be taking the best bits from other municipal units' policies, but then also, I don't want this to be a cut and paste exercise. It can't be, because it's gotta be bespoke for us. So that's part of the process, is seeing what do the leaders in municipal units world, what do they do? And then taking from that what's appropriate for us. And then if there's any gap left between what we would then have and what we need, because it has to fit our needs.
Yeah.
That's when a little bit more work goes into it. So that's going to be either independent thinking, or it could be research. I tend to take a bit of initiative. So I've already, like, with respect to our personnel policies, I've already reached out to professors at Dalhousie University, and I've had a very good reply from them. I've got meetings set up for the end of the month. I really want our policies to be modern. I want them to reflect the current need and actually respond to it in a clear and effective and a fair manner. I want them to be as up to date as they can be. And so in that sense, looking at what other municipal units are doing, and then balancing that with the opinion of staff at Dalhousie that teach in their Masters of Public Administration program, I think think that's a good way forward, and that's what I'm recommending.
Okay, thank you.
So, Councilman Fisk?
And I really think you're on the right direction. I think it's been in need for quite a while. I'm just hoping we have the opportunity at the time that it's all put together that that we can state our opinion on your development on the
Certainly.
Project. But I do understand that there's a great need for change there, so I certainly appreciate what you're doing.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I understand from your summary report, Ann, that the whole completed process may take a year. But I'm pleased to see that council, when you do a completed policy, you're bringing it to council every three or four weeks or 4 to 6 weeks. And also what that does is that refreshes veteran counselors on policies and how they're changed. And it also brings the policies to the new counselors, because you don't often sit and review policies until something comes up. So it's a really good process that we're all familiar with them. And so I like that time frame.
Any other counselors? Councilor Frelick?
And I see in one of the comments, you state that you're going to strike a committee as a review team.
Mm-hmm.
Where then is the process, what's the process for that, and who will be on that? And is that before it comes back to council, how does that process work?
Well, given that I started this project with direction from the CAO, I've been keeping
mm-hmm.
him in the loop with what's going on. We're at the point now where it's time to bring you guys into it. Basically, the review team, at its most basic level, is myself and the executive secretary. And then, as needed, we will speak to heads of departments. For example, my background isn't in engineering, so I don't want to go and get an engineering degree just so I can understand the policies for engineering. So speaking with the director of engineering when necessary for those specific policies, that's how that's going to work. With respect to the personnel policies, we presently do not have a head for human resources, so that's why I've taken the initiative to reach out to Dalhousie and basically go to the experts when the experts are available. And when they're not available, do the best that we can. I mean, this is the thing. I don't know if this is going to be a perfect process, but I want it to be a process that is good enough. Because, you know, there's a reason why good enough is called good enough. It's satisfactory. And I believe that there is a real opportunity to improve what we have. But I do think that we do have to be aware of the time scale. And as Deputy Mayor McLeod said, she's happy to see that there's going to be policies coming updated on like the 4 to 6 week basis. That I do want to set a clear expectation. That's not to say that every 4 to 6 weeks I'm going to have a new policy for you. But that is to say that every 4 to 6 weeks I'm going to give you an update as to where we are. I believe that it's necessary to be tangible, and that it's necessary to show progress. And so I hope that within 6 weeks, so by the next council meeting, three away, we will have certainly it in place to repeal the skateboarding bylaw, because that's a necessary one. But also I would like to have the personnel policy one and the others that I've highlighted here. And then take direction from council and the CAO as to what are the next priorities. And so I really do feel that there's an opportunity to involve everyone in this, to be a very open and transparent process.
Any other councilors? Are we ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Ian. We'll now move on to 9.3, municipal well drilling update. It's verbal CAO, Richard McClung.
Yes, through the mayor and the council. A couple months ago, council approved a motion directing staff to examine some new municipal authority in the Municipal Government Act with regards to enabling residential financing of well drilling, or there was some other further enabling around getting water for residents, similar to clean energy programs that have been out there. I've been working with the CAOs from Yarmouth, Barrington, and municipality of Shelburne on the work, because we'd like to have a consistent program that the four of us bring together to our councils at the same time. We have some draft bylaws and policies assembled. We've agreed to split any legal fees on that four ways, so that will be a savings in doing that work. We have a request to government to help us with some science, specifically with a hydrologist, to understand some of the environmental risks and qualifiers for well drilling and how to enter a program. We're also facing a couple of commercial and financial challenges that I'm not clear at this point, but are going to be difficult to overcome to make a viable program. Some of the well drilling projects can be quite expensive relative to a house's value, and so there's some real challenges to bring this to a viable program for council. However, I just wanted to update you that the four municipalities are working together and progressing it. We're talking about it every couple of weeks.
Any questions by councilors? Great. Thank you, CAO. We will move on now to 10-0, Engineering and Works. I have nothing to come forward on that today. 11.0, Finance, nothing to come forward today. Recreation and Community Facilities, the same, nothing for today. 13, Planning, I ask Mike to come forward. Now dealing with item 13.1, closure of Elm Street, Liverpool. There's a recommendation in this report. Councillor Kelly, would you take this, please?
Yes, that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipalities direct staff to initiate the process to formally close Elm Street in Liverpool.
A seconder. Councillor Fraley. Mike, would you like to brief us on this?
Yeah, I guess just a little bit of background. Elm Street, for those of you who are familiar with the area, is essentially not much more than a driveway that runs between two properties off Main Street, 130 and 132 Main Street. At one time, Elm Street connected Main Street to Corbett Street, which ran to the north adjacent to the would have been the former Stenpro property. However, over the years, land was consolidated with the Stenpro piece, portions of roads were closed. And so essentially what remains of Elm Street now is just a short stretch of road that runs between these two parcels of land. There's no civic addresses or buildings civic addressed off of Elm Street. And essentially use nothing more than a driveway for those two properties. So benefit to the municipality as a street is very little. However, there is municipal infrastructure that is located under this street. So I guess if it's council's decision to look at formally closing this as a street, whereby it would be removed from public road listing and basically extinguishing the rights of the public to use this as a right of way, that we certainly would retain ownership of that for maintenance purposes or infrastructure that resides under it. So it's really, it's got, as a right of way, it's got a little benefit to the municipality as a street. So the municipal government act sets out the process that we need to follow for a street closure, which requires advertising and registration of a formal closure policy within the registry of deeds, which basically gives notification that the road is and the rights of the public to use that is extinguished. So staff is recommending that that portion or that Elm Street be closed.
you, Mayor McLeod.
Mike, when you closed the street, and I certainly understand why, had that been plowed up to this point, that little section, do you know? I know there's nobody here from Works Department, so it was just not, okay. And when we do the construction of the water and sewer improvements going down Main Street, we're probably going to need a diversion road to bring people around. Is there an excess at the back part of that road in case that is used for?
It abuts under private property B.
Okay.
It's now emergency moving property, so we don't have access to swing that around to Reed Street.
Mm-hmm.
Under, I don't know, it's potential form ordering that was made with emergency moves,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't directly abut another public street,
mm-hmm.
so there's no direct access.
Okay.
Councilor Crowley.
Just to follow up on Councilor McLeod's question, when we did Bristol, we had to access Mersey Foods to make that back road accessible for the traffic. Is there an opportunity to do that, or does that solve some of the problems when we start that construction for the people in the neighborhood?
I guess we'd have to Director of Engineering Works here to, I guess, really comment on that. Couldn't an arrangement be made with Mercy Seafoods potentially? It's a 17-foot wide access, so two-way traffic you're probably not going to get. Just the physical.
But if it minimizes the issues that are going to be, entirely, basically a whole summer on that street, should we be looking at that before we vote on this motion?
Could we still be using, I guess, with retaining ownership of that, could we still use that? Similar to what we did for the diversion road up Bristol Avenue, we could certainly utilize that as that need arose and an arrangement could be made with Mercy Seafoods. I think that potential would still be there, but legally, as a public road, if council so chose, I don't see really affecting it that way.
Okay. And second part to that question was, at the moment, is anyone using that at all? Anybody in that neighborhood using it? It's not that we put up barriers or anything.
No.
It would just remain as is.
I think the property owners on either side may use it to access the back portions of the property, but
right.
That would be it because it's essentially a road to nowhere.
Right. So. Thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Mike, along too, is there's nothing else that we have tied in with the address there. I mean, we don't have like fire hydrants or anything else that goes through there that somehow or another could be be linked to the address on that road.
No, but there's nothing off of that. And I guess the original, and Councillor Kelly may want to comment as well, but I guess one of the property owners on that, there is another Elm Street in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's been some confusion over the years of postal deliveries or courier deliveries coming to this address, and this eventually may solve that because it'll take that Elm Street, Liverpool, right into the database that people are using for their GPS units and that sort of thing. So,
Councillor Kelly.
I just wanted to understand when Councillor McLeod said about the snow removal, because I'm quite sure that I saw a Region of Queens plowing that street. As a street, it should be plowed, right?
Okay, yeah.
As a street, we
can check. I guess I'm unaware that
because I do know that the resident has her driveway at the back of the back of her house, and she uses that street to actually access her driveway. So I'm concerned that would be one of.
For a point of information, at the public hearing process, all of these issues would unfold. We're at a bit of a disadvantage today without our Director of Engineering and Works, but certainly all of these issues will be resolved before any motion would be passed or brought before council to close the street at the end of the process.
Mm-hmm. So we're voting on the process today to move forward with that, and this would all be flushed out.
To initiate the process.
Okay, because I was concerned that we weren't covering off all the options for the homeowner.
Yeah, certainly as part of our process and what's legislated us under the Municipal Government Act, we have to have another meeting of council and hearing to review the policy to formally close that road, and it has to be advertised that meeting is taking place. So there'll be another chance for council to look at this as well. So
the main objective of this was to affectively change
what's happening with deliveries at that location because of the other Elm Street in Brooklyn. And there's no other way to do that, to force that administrative function to happen through, say, Google Maps or with courier services or things like that, but to decommission the street, which would in effect start that chain reaction.
I guess we've got no control over how, I guess, the data is used through these various sources. I guess if a road is listed as a public street under the Nova Scotia Civic Address File is what the system we update in the province is for all streets and civic addresses. So by closing the road, that information is removed from the Nova Scotia Civic Address File. So so all these other users of that information, I guess, would eventually have their data updated to have our road excluded from the list. So at some point in time, it would probably improve the service delivery.
Right. Can I ask a question just about, I want to vote for this to close the road, but I'm still not sure I have all of the information. At some point down, further down the line, we have the opportunity to vote on it again as to whether we want this to go through or not.
I would ask Mike to explain the process if you would mind.
Yeah, I guess essentially we prepare a description of the portion of the road being closed. That's advertised in the media that this process has been initiated. It will be coming to council at such and such a date for consideration. So a resolution would be drafted for council's consideration. Formally closing and extinguishing the rights of that road to be used by the public. And if it's a decision of council to approve that resolution, the resolution gets recorded at the Registry of Deeds, so it's on public record that is formally closed for the public use. So,
yes, Councilor Frewitt?
I'm going to find it hard to vote on this. I don't feel we have all the information. If the Director of Engineer has not given the information or understands the questions that we're asking. Homeowner Councillor Kelly seems to think that they're already using that road. We're not sure if it's a benefit to us during construction. I think that I don't think we should be voting on this prior to those questions being answered. So I'd like to make a motion.
Certainly, this feels like there's urgency to deal with this, so if you want to get additional information, you can certainly do that for mm-hmm.
Table.
Table or defer?
So, your motion that mm-hmm. you're making, or can you repeat that?
I would like to make a motion to defer this motion until further information is gathered at the next meeting.
A seconder to that? Councillor Kelly? Any discussion on that motion? Are you ready? Yes.
Whether this applies or not, but is the Director of Engineering here in the building, or can we answer those questions today?
We have too many questions.
Too many questions, okay. Yeah.
We'll bring back a supplementary report on those items.
Okay, Councillor Johnson.
I may be missing something from the original motion, the recommendation, but aren't we only approving to initiate a process that will have to come back for approval, and part of that process should answer all the questions that Councillor Frelick has addressed?
It would, but Councillor Frelick has put forth a motion to defer, and that's on the table now,
okay.
And well within his rights to do so.
Okay.
So are there any other comments of councillors on this motion? It's now before us. Ready for the question on the motion to defer? All those in favor? Two. All those opposed? Motion defeated. We now move back to the previous motion. Any more discussion on the previous motion? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor? All those opposed? Thank you, it passed. We'll now move on to 13.2, a 325-327 Main Street, Liverpool, residential units on ground floor. Deputy Mayor Masada, would you like to move that?
Yes, I will. I've been asked to make the motion, just so that it gets on the floor for discussion. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality maintain status quo respecting utilization of the ground floor of building located at 325-327 Main Street in Liverpool for commercial use.
We have a seconder, Councilor Fancy. Mike, would you like to brief us on that?
Sure, I'll give a good little background, and I probably reiterating a lot of what Mr. Chevelle has commented on earlier. He did a pretty good job of going through the timeline of the process. So back in April of 2016, the municipality received an application for the conversion of the two ground floor commercial units into residential dwelling units. At that time, the application was brought forward to Planning Advisory Committee, who made the recommendation to council to maintain the status quo and that the commercial units be maintained on the bottom ground floor level. Motion was brought forward to council. Council actually agreed with the Planning Advisory Committee's recommendation and recommended maintaining the status quo. That was in June. So following that, the applicant was notified, and subsequent to that, a meeting was held with Councilor McLeod, myself, and the applicant on the proposal. Mr. Chevelle felt he had some additional information on the, I guess, more detail on the type of residential units that were being proposed for that location that he wished council had for consideration. So subsequent to those discussions, Councilor McLeod made a recommendation to rescind the original motion of council to maintain the status quo, basically bringing things back to the start. So with that, it's back before council as to whether to proceed with reconsideration of an application for conversion of these commercial units. And I guess from a staff perspective, and I certainly do appreciate the position that some of the property owners find themselves on Main Street. There are a number of vacant commercial units along that stretch. However, from a land use planning perspective, Main Street Liverpool is really the commercial core area that we have here within the region. And I guess the continued, erosion of space that is available for commercial development within this area, it makes the area even less attractive for new commercial development coming in. So strictly from a land use planning perspective, staff recommends that the area or this application, the council maintains the status quo with the area be maintained for commercial purposes.
Yes, Councilor Kelly.
This is in District 2, and that's my district, and there's a lot of, as everybody knows, there's a lot of properties, and it's been brought to our attention, and we all know what's happening in our core business district, and maybe some will say it's not our core business district because that's across the bridge, but if we keep giving up our commercial space on Main Street, then it will continue to deteriorate and give us less opportunity, and I totally agree with you. Less opportunity to bring in economic development for our downtown. And I think that we have to protect at all costs our downtown core because it's in the benefit of those businesses that are there that we continually work on economic development in our downtown core and not to dilute it with residential buildings, residential accommodations. I know that it's at the forefront of and then the top of the priority list for the region of Queens and our strategies to find more affordable housing, to work on seniors housing, and to actually work on economic development and build up our downtown core in Liverpool.
And so, given that, I'm going to vote for this motion. I understand everybody's views on the matter and take them into consideration, but there's a place for affordable housing in Queens County. And if Mr. Sorvell is really dedicated to affordable housing, hopefully he can work with the region to find another area where he can work with the Housing Coalition to actually bring more affordable housing here to Queens County. But as far as commercial space in our downtown goes, I believe that we have an opportunity here. It's a challenge for us, and we should look at it that way to fill our work with economic development and take that on board with all council to help fill those empty spaces that we do have on our Main Street and not try to and work with the businesses that are already there to give them our support that we're going to bring more businesses in to help their business and not erode our downtown core and our Main Street.
Councilor Fisk?
My main concern is the future of Main Street of Liverpool. I do understand that we do need seniors housing, but I certainly do not think it's the appropriate area for seniors housing. I think we have to consider, if it's 5-10 years down the road, we have to have that commercial zoning so we can encourage businesses in the area. And so for that reason, at the present time, I'll be voting for this motion, this recommendation.
Any other councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
As you know, I've had quite a bit of input into this issue, and I guess you might say that I'm making a flip-flop, but that's the only way to say it, because I was involved with the Planning Advisory Committee when we made the first recommendation. But then after discussing this with Mr. Sorvell and with everybody else's concerns for growth in our community, growth isn't always just in commercial, growth is bringing people here too. And we're looking at a population growth strategy, we have to work on that. And I've got several points I'd try to like to make, and I probably might be drifting from one to the other, but I really feel that Mr. Sorvell is really sincere in what he wants to do with his property. It's on the fringe of the commercial district. It's close to other residentials, and I know some of those houses on that same stretch are non-conforming uses in that commercial district, which was included with that little pink house that's really close to this other one. When this new district was formed in the commercial district itself, some of those are non-conforming uses and still remain as residential houses. We did make a change in the commercial zone a few years ago when we rezoned a portion of a property next to where the Spirits on the Mersey is, which was the a home. And we did make a change to that to accommodate a business that had intended to put a business in there, but their intentions were not valid. They did not do that, and we changed it with hopes of, you know, helping that person who didn't come through with that project, and that still remains a commercial. So we did make a commercial change to in a residential area. Now we want to make a residential change in a commercial area. But my point I'm trying to make is I really think Mr. Sorvell is really sincere in what he wants to do. I think that his efforts are good, and I really feel that it's okay to make a change. We can change your mind with other information, and I really will not support this motion.
Any other councilor? Councilor Frelick?
I certainly understand both sides of the situation, but I'm also very concerned with the trend that we're going. And, you know, I just wrote down 12 names of other businesses in town that would probably be sitting in the gallery as well, wishing that they could switch theirs over. And when you take a dozen properties out of the downtown core, and then you have members of the gallery saying, you know, that we need to be out there enticing developers in, that's, talk about flip-flopping. That is, there's no way to bring developers in if you're losing your downtown core. So I understand the project, but I also think that if we are serious about this, this is no different than most towns. If you look at Lunenburg, they went through a period where many of their storefronts were empty. And then on the rise, they are now all full. you can't get any. So hopefully we are on the rise and that we will get them, but by continuing to drop one, two, three of these businesses, it's not going to work out well. So I will be voting to keep this as a status quo.
Councilor Fancy?
I think the one biggest issue here isn't one property. It's where we're all headed for. And that's the question that's being brought forward, because as we've already heard from someone else, that there may be something else coming up, you know. So where are we, I guess, where are we going? Where do we want downtown to be? Where do we want the limits to be? I don't know if we're really ready to, are we ready to say this is where the line is, where downtown's going to be? Or are we going to say, well, we can go into here or we can go into there? So are we voting, I think when we're voting on this, we're voting on a bigger issue than just the one house. So, or one property. So to me, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I think we should be tabling it to discuss where we want this to be, rather than voting on the one issue today.
Any other councillor? Okay, we're at a point where everyone has had a say at it. Are we ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? I read it as a tie, which then becomes a defeated motion. Am I correct?
Yes.
So we have defeated this recommendation as a motion. Is there any further action on this issue to be taken today? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I had prepared a recommendation. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'll bring it before us anyway.
You'd like to move it?
Yeah, I would like to move it. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to enter into a development agreement with Allen Sorabel to allow for the creation of two new ground floor dwelling units in the existing building located at 325 327 Main Street in Liverpool and identified as PID number 7002-4971, and that a public hearing be scheduled for February the 14th, 2017 at 8:55 a.m. in the Council Chambers of the Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia.
Seconder? Councilor Fancy? Open for discussion. Any councilor want to speak on the issue? Are we ready for the question on this motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed to the motion? We have a defeated motion.
Thank you. Where do we go?
Back to where we were last week. Thank you all for your input on this. We will now move on to 14 Queens Place Mirror Center. I would ask